Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Afternoon, KB.
Good afternoon to you, or good morning from me.
Yes, good morning, because you're on your travels again. Whereabouts are we speaking to you from today?
In Antigua, in the West Indies.
Well, that sounds like an awful place to be at this time of year.
Well, I was just saying the weather is almost perfect. It rains at night, dries up about 6 o'clock in the morning, and then the sun comes out. And so you can sunbathe, swim, or do whatever you want. So yeah. We're just relaxing, very pleasant.
Well, that sounds rather lovely. Let's start with Leeds United, KB. And Steve Evans, lots of reports out over the last 24 hours about he's on the verge of losing his job. Massimo Cellino poised to change him, according to the Daily Mail. And for the change his boss, seventh time in the two-year reign as owner of Leeds United, which is a staggering stat. But Steve Evans says he's focusing on preparing the team for Rotherham amid these reports. What are your thoughts on the future for Steve Evans?
Well, I'd never heard of him until he joined Leeds. Not that means a lot. But I was surprised he was at Rotherham. And they sacked him at the bottom of the league. And Cellino promptly appointed him. But then we don't know the workings of Massimo's mind, do we? But I don't think he's been a great success. He's not popular with the fans. Now we believe there's a bit of discontent in the dressing room. So for all of those three together, so that should be a disaster. And if he is going, better he go sooner rather than later, because that then will give the new manager a chance to assess the current squad as to their strengths and their weaknesses in the last few games before the end of the season, rather than coming in July and having to start from scratch. So by the end of the season, the guy comes in now, and by the end of the season, he will have a pretty good idea of the player's abilities, but more importantly, their character and their attitudes. And also it means he can start looking around in the summer for new players if he wants to make changes. Because if he doesn't come in until July, say, then you have this, he's got to do all sorts of things at once. Get to know the new club, get to know the players, in an uncompetitive atmosphere. At the same time, looking around, he's running out of time to strengthen his team. Well, at Chelsea, we always used to know who we wanted by the end of the season, and the moment the transfer window, bang, go and get them. It meant you had to pay the players the wages throughout the summer, but against that, of course, you hadn't signed up, you know, your plans were in place. So, to summarise what I've just said, if he is going to go, better he goes now rather than in a couple of months' time.
Yes, I think that's probably what most Leeds fans would say, KB. And keeping with Leeds, there were still some more protests against Massimo Cellino at the Huddersfield game. The Leeds winning streak came to an end, and some more protests. It's just not doesn't feel like a very happy ship at the moment.
Well, there were 29,000 people there on Saturday, weren't there? So how many people were protesting?
Out of the 29,000, I think there was maybe the most would have been about 1,000.
Well, that puts it in perspective, but of course the 1,000, the one that makes the noise, they're the ones who get the publicity. And they're the ones who would be investors look at and say, I don't want any part of that. So although they profess to be supporting Leeds, they're actually damaging Leeds. And they don't do their homework before. Look at all the support they gave to GFH. Well, they supported him. GFH, they got them in. Put great pressure on me to sell to them. And GFH destroyed the club. Massimo is getting a lot of blame, but he's picking up the pieces that GFH left behind. And, of course, they're still there in the background. I mean, why those two directors from GFH, the Patels, are still on the board of football club, I don't know. I think it's something to do with equity accounting to make GFH's balance sheet look stronger than it is. But we'll never know because they never talk. although that may change in the near future. My advice to protesters, though they won't take any notice of it, but I'll repeat it, say it anyway, you're wasting your time. Nobody taking any notice of you. Lisa or Chilino. He doesn't like your behaviour. He certainly isn't encouraging him to invest more in the club, to get more involved. So all you're doing is doing two things. You're not supporting your club, and you're frightening off any would-be investor. And I was thinking about this last week. Do you think of the number of people going to buy the club just for a bit of... There's nothing in it. Just personal public. Who's that New Zealand rugby international or something? Who said that the rugby league always supported Leeds United, who was considered buying them. But then he had a game, or his book came out, and that was the end of it. So people don't do... Successful, genuine businessmen don't do business with the media. They do it behind closed doors and announce what they've done afterwards.
Well, KB, moving on and talking of GFH once again, because it looks like the ex-Leeds United managing director, David Haig, could be back in the UK after what he's called his two-year prison nightmare coming to an end. He's been acquitted in the UAE of criminal charges relating to a tweet. I just wanted to get your reaction to that news this week.
Well, we know it's always a lie anyway. Because Haig was incarcerated for two years in a prison jail. He didn't have access to Facebook, to Twitter, to Wi-Fi, all those kind of things. Not an hour of jail. So if there were defamatory statements going out by GFH, then we have to ask ourselves, were they indeed defamatory or were they factual? It's obviously been putting up by somebody else. So how could Haig be responsible for it? It's a funny law anyway, which has international condemnation. But I just think it was a trumped-up charge to keep Haig quiet. Because he knows where the bodies are buried at GFH. And it shows how they summed him up when they lured him out to Dubai, offering him a tremendously new job at high salary and bonuses. They had no intention of doing it. He got off the plane at 7 o'clock in the morning, went to his apartment, showered, changed, got his suit on, went to the office at 10 o'clock, and rested at 10 past 10. Been in jail ever since. He was silly about one thing, because the Sheikh offered him a pardon 3 months ago. Or was it 4 months ago? And he refused it on the grounds that if he accepted a pardon, he was admitting his guilt on the original charge. Very nice, high principle, but not very practical. He should have accepted the pardon, got on the plane, and then taken it from there. But he didn't. Anyway, let's hope he is out this weekend. Nice Easter present. And then we'd had a rest. Probably need to recover his strength, put a bit of weight on, and he'll be free. He'll be a free man and able to speak his mind and probably start writing the book, because he really has an offer for already. But then the other thing will come out, with a bit of luck, is the Leeds fans will really then know how they were duped by GFH when they took over the club without having the money to do so.
Yeah, certainly going to be an interesting few weeks once he gets back on the UK shores. And it's been an interesting time for the Conservative Party in the recent week or so. After the budget, Ian Duncan-Smith resigned due to the welfare cuts, and it just seems to have put the Conservatives into a bit of disarray ahead of the stay or leave referendum for the EU. Ian Duncan-Smith resigning has certainly put the cat amongst the pigeons and opened up some old wounds in that Conservative Party.
Well, what I can't believe is that for the first time in 18 years. The Tories have got a clear cut mandate. They had one last year. You'd have thought then they'd have really gone to town making all the changes they believe. But to me, they've just been muddlesome. I mean, I don't quite understand why it is whenever I switch the TV on, I see either Cameron or Osborne in a hard hat and wearing a high-vis jacket, laying bricks or strapping up scaffolding and that kind of stuff, publicity stunt. And they should be in their bloody offices working and running the country. I think the budget was appalling. Don't quite know what it's supposed to do. And the sugar tax, you can get around that anyway, one way or the other. And and what about all the sugar we eat in pastries and cakes? It's just daft ideas. It's something just off the hoof. And Ian Duncan Smith is generally regarded as a quiet, reliable man. Though there has been some questions asked of the results of some of his administrative changes. But again, you've got serious people in the government and the high echelons of the Conservative establishment who are at war. And Cameron is not a very good leader, nor is he very effective, because all this song and dance about all the reforms he was going to get, well, frankly, I don't think they're worth the paper they're written on. And none of them have been agreed yet. It has to be approved by the other 27 nations. And they're not going to approve them by the 23rd of June. Now, Cameron, having bellyached about the EEC for some time, now urging us to stay in without giving us any reasons for doing so, just conducting the kind of personal insults and jibes and cracks that we see in the Donald Trump election campaign in America. Now, things are not looking good for the Tory party, but more importantly, they're not looking good for the country, because there's indecision and lack of commitment to virtues and standards. And the thing is, let's put it this way, if we make a mess of our country after leaving the EC, well, at least it's us, it's the Brits that's making a mess of the British, of the United Kingdom. Not some meddlesome, useless, incompetent, bloody civil servants based in another country. Interestingly, there was a country once that had the same situation we had, because they objected to being taxed by a foreign country, having their laws imposed on by foreign countries. They had a revolution. Took place in 1776 when America declared independence from the UK. Mad King George III fought a war, mostly with foreign mercenaries, and took a good hiding. And from then, America emerged to be what is now the most powerful country in the world. And we were once a very powerful country in the world. But we're not now, unless we exercise our influence in the EEC. It's a load of rubbish. What influence do we have? There have been, God knows how many votes, I think somebody said 80 or 90, and we've lost every one of them. But don't take any notice of us. They also take our money, several billion a year, which we could better spend on our own people. We don't control our borders, we can't control immigration. And yet we provide, whenever the EEC or the EU want to start a war or do something somewhere, we provide the majority of the men and machines, because we've got the biggest setup in the EEC. When's the last time Luxembourg sent a soldier to Syria? Or Portugal? Or Spain? No, I'm sorry to finish up on, but Ian Duncan Smith has probably done more good than damage, because it's revealed the deep differences of opinion an attitude, which is very important.
Well, KB, finishing up on a lighter note, maybe, and another chance for people to win a place in the Radio Yorkshire Executive Box at Elland Road for the QPR game.
That'd be a cracker. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbrink, the manager as well, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Coming back to the old stamping ground. That's life gone full circle.
Yeah, it probably feels like it for him as well. In fact, the question, KB, is all about Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank as well. And if you want to win that VIP match day experience at Elland Road, it's in our private box on Tuesday, the 5th of April. Kickoff's at 7:45. Just answer this question. Who did Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank join when he was sold from Leeds in 1999? Is it Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, or Middlesbrough? So it's A, Atletico Madrid, B, Chelsea, or C, Middlesbrough. Text York, that's YORKS, and your answer A, B, or C to 84383. So text York's and your answer A, B, or C to 84383. And make sure you just text the words York's A, York's B, or York's C, or your entry might be invalid. Text costs £1 plus your standard message rate, and the competition closes 27th of March. And the winners will be chosen shortly after that. All the T's and C's are available at radioyorkshire.co.uk. KB, until next week, have a wonderful rest of your time in the Caribbean.
Thank you very much, and good luck to all the people who are going to enter. And think again, if you're not considering entry, great day out for £1. So good luck to you all, and thank you, Dan.